When I went to Yale, I was a born-again Christian who had accepted Christ into my heart. And more than that, I was a Pentecostal. So I didn't handle snakes. We leave that to the experts. But I did speak in tongues, which is this sort of ecstatic language. It's the evidence of being baptized by the Holy Spirit. In the Pentecostalism, where I was raised, feeling is the essence of belief. I was also slain in the spirit, which is a spiritual fainting by this sort of emotional exuberance. They're mystical experiences, which are by definition ineffable, which frees me from having to be able to really explain these to you. So at Yale, speaking in tongues is not very classy. That's right. But it didn't matter because my parents were so proud. My mom, she was born and raised in a coal camp in West Virginia, where religion was as common as dysfunction. And she was able to get out, hid her suitcase in the bushes, and went to a Pentecostal college in Tennessee, but only for a semester till her savings ran out. And my dad dropped out of high school when he was 14. So this was a big deal for them. And my mom, even though I had never met her parents or her siblings, that didn't stop her from sending them an invitation to my high school graduation with the word valedictorian emblazoned in red under my name. Woo. Woo. Go ahead. Okay, so the summer before I left home for Colorado, where we had moved from West Virginia to go to college, I had a summer job with heavy data entry responsibilities. And I looked around at this room full of cubicles, women, many of whom weren't believers, entering data into this blank screen on behalf of this impersonal corporation. And I remember thinking, how could they live thinking that this is all there is? That this is a meaningless universe that doesn't care about our existence. So that fall, I went to college, and I met the man who would be my husband. We can call him Asswipe. You didn't think I'd curse, did you? He was an intellectual, as I guess. He studied philosophy and Kierkegaard and exegesis and hermeneutics, all these things I didn't know much about. And my personal religiosity that I grew up with came to look silly, and I came to see it as sort of performative or personal. And although I didn't then and I can't now disavow how I felt or what happened. So then I took sort of a rational view of religion, which comes with its own problems, because if you look at Christianity just from a rational perspective, on its surface, there are a lot of absurd things you have to believe, right? Like, how is there an omnipotent, omniscient God who is yet somehow good? Or miracle spit that Jesus used to heal the blind? So I began to rebel against Christianity, and I fell into a despondency. And so I graduated, got married, got a job, and felt depressed. I borrowed strength from my husband, Asswipe, and he made decisions for me, and I thought of Benevolent. I didn't want to do the hard work of making decisions myself, and he did that for me. So everything from where we lived to what restaurants we went to, where we vacationed, and what I wore, he preferred Ann Taylor. And I even got an MBA degree, even though I have no interest in establishing or managing a business. So I wasn't exactly Barbie fighting the patriarchy, right? So then I became one of those women in the cubicle, right? What I had feared I would be. Although I didn't mind the mindless tasks, I actually found it comforting. My mind was most at rest when I was able to format documents or do an Excel spreadsheet. And Søren Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher, often called the father of existentialism, he would say I was tranquilized by the trivial. I think it's true. So I spent a decade like this, sort of sleepwalking through life. And then I had a baby boy. And I rose to the challenge in a way that I didn't know possible. And I started to see glimmers of the person I could be without depression. Less than a year later, I had another baby boy. 18 months after that, another baby boy. 3 months after that, asswipe left me for the woman who scheduled surgeries for his patients. Yeah. He said, I finally found someone who needs me more than you. She had a history of depression, and so he has a type. Anyway. So I collapsed to the floor, you know, not in an ecstatic trance, but just fell apart and was devastated and desperate and realized I know a place that specializes in desperate, devastated people. I called a church. And I was invited to go to a home fellowship group, and I went first week, second week, came back week after week, year, many years. And I grew up during those years, and I found God again, as you know, you might imagine. I was making decisions for myself, and for 1 week, I decided to leave the boys with my parents and go to California and drive in a convertible down the coast. I stopped at Esalen, did some yoga and time in the hot baths, clothing optional, and then to a monastery, St. Benedictine Monastery, where clothing was very much required. And I asked if I could have spiritual counsel. So I met with Brother Isaiah, and I confessed to him my doubt, and I said, I really want to believe, but sometimes it's hard to believe. I don't know that I do. And he said, in the eyes of God, I believe the desire to believe is equal to belief itself. So in a nod to Kierkegaard, I call myself a leap of faith Christian. So someone who has made the rational decision to believe in the irrational, to go from this existential despair to existential hope. So for Kierkegaard, to be a Christian is to imitate Christ. And in that way, a Christian is not something one becomes, but rather something one is constantly becoming. And for me, nurturing my faith has meant things like, of course, prayer and meditation and acts of service and compassion and sharing my testimony, as I'm doing here tonight. So I've been a single mom now for 9 years. My boys are... My boys are 9, 10, and 11 years old. And my middle son, who has always had a knack for asking the deep questions of life well past his bedtime, last week asked me, what's the purpose of life? And I told him his purpose in life was to love like Jesus loved and to please, for the love of God, go to sleep. But someday I'll tell him my testimony, the story of how I found peace and possibility by taking a leap of faith into the arms of a loving God daily and every day. Thank you.